You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, listen, we're going to go to the phones right now and bring on a friend of mine, somebody I served with in Montgomery. State Senator Shay Shelnut is a member of the Alabama State Senate. He represents District 17. He has been down there since 2014. I believe he ran for the empty seat left behind by Senator Scott Beeson when he had left the office. Shay has got a degree in business finance and a master's in education from the University of Montevallo. He's taught at the high school and community college level, and now he works also in real estate and business development. So without further ado, my friend Shay Shelnut. How you doing, Shay?
Phil, I'm doing great, man. It's the last day of the session, so I'm ready to get out of here, and we're looking like we're going to get out of here pretty soon.
You know, and I think you probably agree, though, I always say the state is always safer when the legislature is not in session. What do you think?
They're much safer. We can't do anything to harm the taxpayers of Alabama. And as you know, on the last day of session, can kind of everybody's ill at everybody, so hopefully we won't pass any more bad stuff.
Well, you know, but you guys, you got some things done today, Shay, and your name was in the middle of all of it, so... I really wanted to jump on here and talk to you about the fact that the we call it the VCAP bill, the bill that would criminalize and ban transgender treatments, therapy, surgeries on minors. That's been your bill, you and Representative Wes Allen. And that thing finally passed in the last hour, didn't it?
Finally. We've gotten it out of the Senate three straight sessions. One session got COVID-ed. And then last year we thought it was going to get out, but the House didn't make it. We kind of feel like we were misled there the last couple of weeks, and I was worried about that again this time because we thought we had a commitment, but I was getting really worried. But hey, my leadership in the Senate did a great job, and we didn't leave until that thing got done.
Well, and that's good news. And so that it did pass. There's no need for concurrence, right? It just passed in the Senate version. Is that right?
Passed as is. Yeah, you are correct. Passed as is. It will be on the way to the governor now.
Do you have any reason to believe that she would not sign that thing?
I have no reason to believe.
Well, that's...
She better.
I think you're right. I'm pretty sure there's some people hot on her heels in the primaries that would make hay out of that if she didn't sign it.
I think that might become an issue if she didn't.
Yeah. Well, and first of all, thank you for your work on that, because I know that's been a bill that you have toted now for a while, and there were times when you toted it alone, but I think that the world finally woke up and realized that this is real, and this is happening in other places, and that we as a legislative body, yeah. Y'all as a legislative body had to do something, and so thank you for your work on that.
Well, thank you. You know, this far left agenda is just, it's gotten ridiculous what they're pushing on our kids, you know, in our schools, and hey, everywhere across this country. So we've got to start pushing back.
Well, I agree. And let me ask you, Shay, just real quickly, I've talked about the bill before, but you being the bill sponsor, could you just quickly give the rundown of what the bill accomplishes once the governor signs it and when it takes effect?
Okay. Yeah, what it does is it basically stops puberty-blocking drugs, cross-sex hormones, and any kind of surgeries on minors. And, you know, right now, currently in this state, they are being given the drugs. And kids that receive these drugs, you know, it sets them up for a lifetime of having to use these drugs. And kids aren't ready to make those kind of life-changing decisions at, you know, 12 years, 13, even younger than that. So you know, what this law does is just says, hey, there's no more. That's not going to go on in Alabama. You know, once you turn 19, if you want to do something like that, that's up to you. But we just don't believe that kids should be given these drugs or surgeries that cause irreversible consequences for the rest of their lives.
Well, and I totally agree. I can't help but wonder if your bill got a little bit of last minute momentum when President Biden himself came out in the last week and said he fully supports transgender surgeries and treatments on minors, which I thought was pretty shocking.
I think that had a big influence on why some of the opposition maybe, got a little less. And the bill got some momentum. I agree with you.
Well, let me ask you, there was another bill. I was tracking yours a lot more than I was tracking the other one on transgender bathrooms. That's, I think, Representative Scott Hagan's bill. And that one, you went to the floor today, and you turned that one into almost a whole other bill added to it. You dropped an amendment on that thing on the Senate floor, and it passed. I think a vote of 26-5. And you basically got now a bill that prohibits using a bathroom or a locker room facility that does not align with your biological sex, but it also now has your amendment on it that says, and you can't teach gender fluidity, gender identity, that kind of thing in K-5 education, which is similar to the Florida bill that just passed. Am I correct?
Yes, it's basically we got it from the Florida bill that passed. They went K through third grade. You know, a lot of us wanted to go all the way to 12th grade, but for certain reasons, and we agreed upon to fifth grade. And what that does is just stops all, discussions teaching about gender identity and sexual orientation, which we should be left up to the parents at that age.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, some of the best reporting out of Montgomery, it's still very slanted. I say best reporting. Some of the most prolific reporting out of Montgomery is still very slanted. I couldn't help but notice on Twitter that the very first thing that Brian Lyman from the Montgomery Advertiser said was, "You dropped a Don't Say Gay amendment onto the bill." So that's apparently his views coming out in his news right there.
Right, and that's not real shocking that the media kind of twists things.
Well, it goes back to the House now, brother. So You send this bill back. So the House passed the bill originally, sent it to you. You amended it on the floor of the Senate. So the process, of course, now is it goes back to the House for concurrence or conference committee. What do you know about the trajectory now? Are they going to concur? Are they going to take it to conference?
I think they're going to concur. I haven't checked in the last few minutes, but that's what we feel like is going to happen. They're going to concur.
Well, and then if that happens, do you have any reason to believe if they concur, and of course it's done then, do you have any reason to believe that Governor Ivey wouldn't sign that one?
I have no reason to believe she wouldn't sign that. Well, I think it would be in her best interest and the best interest of the state.
Yeah, I think you said it pretty well, her best interest as well as the best interest of the state. In other words, if she wants to keep her job, she's going to sign these bills if they come over there.
That's right. She better.
So what's the deal? I had heard at one point, and I don't know if you can tell me or not, but I heard at one point that y'all were going to reserve, I think you have one more potential legislative day after this when you were going to reserve that to come back in case you had to override a veto. I'm hearing and seeing right now that y'all are going to call sine die this afternoon. Is that what's going to happen?
Man, you got inside information. That is the plan. I think we're going to sine die pretty soon here in the next hour or so.
You know there ain't no secrets in Montgomery.
You know, when you were here, Senator, the inside people knew more than we did.
Lord, there were times when you and I would come out of a caucus meeting and what we said inside the closed-door caucus meeting was already being printed in the press. But
I have to go to some of the people in here to figure out what's going on for the day.
Well, listen, Shay Shelnut, I said on the air before you came on that, there was a group of us used to all sit on the back row. And I think largely a lot of the more conservative members of the state Senate during that first 4 years you were there, the 8 years that I was there, all sat kind of towards the back of the room. And then most of us left you behind and left you holding the bag. But we appreciate you hanging in there, brother.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Phil. I don't appreciate y'all leaving me down here. That wasn't nice.
Well, good enough. I'm glad you're there. We need conservatives. And folks, I'll just tell y'all listeners that Shay Shelnut is one of the more conservative members of the body there. So, all right, Senator Shelnut, get back to business, man, and get that thing adjourned, sign to die, and y'all go home.
Keep up the good work, Phil. Thanks.
Thank you, brother. All right, folks, that was State Senator Shay Shelnut representing Senate District 17. He is, and when I say that with all sincerity, I would not say it if it were not true. I'm not about to pander to anybody. But Shay and I worked together for a number of years. He replaced Scott Beeson, who was also one of the most conservative members of the body, who, when Scott decided not to run again, Shay Shelnut came in, took his place, and came in just as conservative. And He got some major legislation through today. He's been working on one of those, that VCAP bill, for 3 years. And that transgender bathroom bill, that was my bill back in the day, or at least a version thereof. But they got some stuff done. And I'm hoping now that we're going to see both those bills go across the street to Governor Ivey. Both those bills get signed into law. You know what? I guarantee to you that the liberals will immediately file suit and try to enjoin those, and they'll probably take them straight to the usual suspect, Judge Myron Thompson in Montgomery, the liberal Clinton-appointed federal court judge. And if they do, we'll deal with it. But right now, I am just proud to say that as much as I fuss about them, that it appears that our state legislature is at least taking a social conservative stance on some issues and pushing back against the way left liberal agendas that are flooding into our kids' lives. All right, Copper, take us to a break. We will run to this break right now, folks. Come back and finish up a few points of interest on things that are happening in Montgomery right there in your state house. And believe me when I say this, I think sometimes what affects our day-to-day lives comes more out of Montgomery than it does out of D.C. No kidding. So number one on the triple dipper, whose state house is this? We'll finish that up in a few minutes. We'll be right back.